All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at a California case that, well, it really sheds light on how courts interpret the rules, especially when those rules are about protecting people, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We're diving into O'Kane v. Irvine, a 1996 case. And, you know, if you're trying to navigate the legal system, especially when it comes to things like statutory interpretation and, you know, like the reach of the DVPA, the Domestic Violence Prevention Act, this case is one you got to know.
Yeah.
You know,
you sent over some really great material on this. And what I thought was really interesting was, like, you know, how a pretty straightforward situation, you know, like you think it seems straightforward, turns into this like really nuanced legal ruling.
Yeah, exactly. And for law students, especially, you know, as you guys are like getting into the weeds of how the legal system works.
Yeah.
O'Kane v. Irvine gives you a really good like picture of how courts break down and actually use the language of a law. Like, how do they apply it?
Right. So we're going to unpack this whole case, you know, the background, like all the arguments back and forth, and then, you know, like the reasoning behind how the court reached its decision. Mm-hmm. The main thing we're aiming for here is, like, why did the court define cohabitant in this really specific way under the DVPA? And then, like, what does that even mean for how the DVPA is applied out in the real world?
Okay, so let's set the scene here. What made the, like, living arrangement in this case so strange?
So the case was all about these two people, Carrie O'Kane and Mark Irvine. The key thing here, right, is that they were both living in the same place, 134 Ashton Avenue in San Francisco. But here's where it gets, like, kind of weird.
Okay.
They each had their own separate sublease agreements.
Separate?
Yeah, yeah. With the person who was actually renting the whole place, right. Christy Schimmelman. So it wasn't like they chose to move in together, you know, like as a couple or even as friends. Like, they had literally no relationship at all before they ended up living under the same roof. They were basically strangers.
So they were just connected by, like, sharing the same property.
Exactly. Like, the only interactions they had were in the common areas, right? Like the kitchen or the living room.
Right.
But their own rooms and their rental agreements were completely separate.
Okay.
And that lack of any, like, pre-existing relationship, that's huge. It's, like, one of the main things the court looks at when making their decision later on.
So what happened? Like, what actually led to, like, legal action being taken?
So after they end up living in this, like, coincidental situation, right, there's an altercation between O'Kane and Irvine.
Okay.
O'Kane claims that Irvine, like, physically assaulted her, that he hit her in the upper body and she fell.
And so because of that, she...
Yeah, because of this alleged assault, O'Kane got a temporary restraining order, a TRO under the DVPA. And to get that, she had to say that she and Irvine were, quote unquote, living together.
So they issued this temporary order, and then I'm guessing that became like a more permanent thing.
Right. So after more legal stuff happens, the trial court gave a 3-year restraining order against Irvine. And that order, it said that he had to stay at least 100 yards away from O'Kane and her place.
Whoa. Okay. So for anyone who's, like, familiar with restraining orders, that's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, for sure. Huge.
So why would Irvine challenge that? Like, what was his reasoning?
So Irvine decided to appeal the restraining order. And his main argument was basically, like, you know, the trial court didn't even have the power to give that order under the DVPA.
Right.
He's saying they didn't fit the legal definition of cohabitants, which is, like, the key thing for the DVPA to apply.
Right, yeah.
And that's where the actual words in the law, they become super important.
Right. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of the legal side of this.
Mm-hmm.
How does California law define what a cohabitant is under the DVPA?
So the big thing here is California Family Code Section 62009, and it says a cohabitant is someone who regularly resides in the household. And, you know, at first glance, you might think, well, okay.
Right.
That kind of sounds like them.
Yeah, like they're both living in the same house.
Right. But the appeals court, they take a way closer look at what regularly resides actually means. Like, what does it mean for the DVPA?
Yeah.
And also, Family Code Section 6201, it specifically says that the DVPA is about protecting people from abuse between cohabitants.
So Irvine's whole appeal was based on whether their weird living situation, you know, did that even count as cohabitation under the DVPA?
Exactly.
All right. So it wasn't as simple as just sharing the same address, right?
Yeah.
What made the court decide they weren't actually cohabitants in the eyes of the law?
So the court, they really focused on that word regularly. And also, like, the whole point of the DVPA, they said regularly resides means there needs to be some kind of, like, stability. Like, they're living together in a consistent way.
Right.
And then they said, okay, O'Kane and Irvine, their living situation was totally temporary, basically random. Like, there was nothing that made them a social unit with a common goal, which is how the court put it.
Okay, so that social unit idea seems to be the big thing here. Like, what did they mean by that? What were they looking for?
Right. So the court said that the whole point of the DVPA, which is laid out in Family Code Section 6220, is to protect people from abuse in, like, a domestic setting, right?
Yeah.
To make sure people can be separated so the conflict can, like, calm down. And the court is saying this was designed for situations where there's, like, an actual relationship and the living situation is kind of stable.
Mm.
But these two, with their separate leases and no connection, it just didn't fit that.
So just living in the same space wasn't enough for them to be protected by the DVPA?
Nope. The court really stuck to this principle of, like, statutory interpretation. They said, look, courts got to figure out what the legislature actually meant when they wrote the law, and we got to make sure the law is used that way. And they even quoted this legal principle, and I think it's a really important one, they said. Where the words of the statute are clear, the court should not add to or alter them to accomplish a purpose that does not appear on the face of the statute or from its legislative history. So basically, they didn't want to expand the definition of cohabitant beyond what they thought the law intended, even though there was this allegation of assault. You know, they were like, this temporary random living situation is different from when people are actually cohabitating, like, you know, couples or even roommates who choose to live together and share stuff, you know?
So for someone who's, like, in law school right now, what are the main takeaways from O'Kane v. Irvine? What makes it so important?
I think, for you as a law student, O'Kane v. Irvine shows you how strict courts can be about interpreting laws, especially when those laws are about protecting people.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that even if someone says they've been harmed, the law still has to be met perfectly for that protection to apply. The court draws a really clear line between just living in the same house and actually regularly residing in the household as, like, a real social unit.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it clear that the DVPA is supposed to protect people who are in, like, domestic relationships where there's stability and intentionality. It's not about every single conflict between people who happen to live near each other.
Okay.
So the case highlights, like, how important it is to analyze the exact words of a law and to understand what the legislature was trying to do.
Yeah.
And it also makes you think about some policy stuff, you know? Like, could a strict interpretation like this actually leave some people who live in, like, non-traditional settings vulnerable? That's something to think about as you think about how these protective laws are applied more broadly.
So just to be clear, the court ultimately said nope to the whole restraining order, right?
Yeah. The appeals court completely reversed the restraining order. Their main decision was that O'Kane and Irvine didn't count as cohabitants under the DVPA.
Okay.
So basically, the trial court had no right to issue that order in the first place.
Yeah, it's wild how powerful the, like, exact words of a law can be.
Yeah.
So I want to leave you with something to think about after this deep dive.
Okay.
What if O'Kane and Irvine had decided to be roommates?
Yeah.
You know, like, intentionally.
Yeah.
And they even had, like, a written agreement where they laid out who does what around the house.
Mm-hmm.
But they still weren't romantically involved or anything.
Right.
Would that, like, shared decision and that agreement, would that be enough to make them a social unit, you know, like the kind that the court was looking for?
Ooh, that's a good question to think about. It really gets to the heart of what a social unit means in the law, specifically for the DVPA.
Yeah.
Thinking about that situation makes you really analyze what actually makes a living arrangement count as cohabitation, even if it's not your typical family or romantic relationship.
Right.
So, law students out there, if you want to learn more about this, it would be super helpful to look up other California cases where they had to define cohabitant, you know, in the years after O'Kane v. Irvine.
Yeah.
Looking at how those courts used the stuff we talked about today, but applied it to different situations, that'll give you a much deeper understanding of this really complex areas of law.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, anytime.
And we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.